In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about going back to school. And I am talking directly to many of you children who have an opportunity to listen to me. I was telling you yesterday that I really do believe that God goes with you to school. And when I was in the first grade, I was so scared because I was so sure that I was the only person in the whole school that didn't know what she was doing. And I worried so much about flunking arithmetic that I would lie awake at night and cry about it. Well, finally, my mother began to get alarmed and wonder if there was really some reason for me to be so upset. So she went to the school and she talked with the teacher, and the teacher said no, there was no reason at all, that I was doing very well. But I guess I was born very insecure and very sure that life was sort of stacked against me. Anyway, I just want to tell you, if you're afraid about anything, that God does go with you. He will be there. He will help you. And it matters to Him what you do. It says in the Bible, you can cast the full weight of all your anxieties on Him, for it matters to Him about you. Now, isn't that terrific? You can just throw the whole weight of everything you're worried about on God, because it does matter to Him about you. And as I tell you every day, you are loved with an everlasting love. And I hope that you school children will learn to pray about everything. And I mean everything. Not just help me to be good or help me to do my homework, but if there's anything that worries you, particularly something that you might not want to talk to the teacher about, or even to your mother or father, some fear. I can remember being afraid that kids would think that I was strange because I was a Christian. And there were a whole lot of things that other kids were allowed to do that our family didn't do. And our parents explained to us, look, Christians are different. Christians have to be different. And sometimes those differences are hard to take. But the Bible says that whoever wants to live a godly life will suffer persecution. Now, persecution is a pretty big word, and we don't think of ourselves in the same category, for example, with Christians in countries where it's illegal to be a Christian and where they may be put in prison for it. But if somebody makes fun of you or asks you questions that you don't know how to answer about your Christianity or about why your parents won't let you do this or that or the other thing, that's hard to take, isn't it? And if you're going to live a true, clean Christian life, you can make sure that for the rest of your life, in different ways, people are going to think you are a little bit weird. Sometimes we don't want to talk to anybody about these fears, but you can talk to God about them. And you can be sure that He understands. Because Jesus, although He walked and talked with ordinary people, He ate meals with them, He went to a village party, He got tired, He sat down by a well, He drank ordinary water and He ate ordinary food, and He must have worn ordinary clothes, because you remember that when Jesus was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before He went to prison and then to the cross, Judas, the one who had been His disciple, had to identify Him with a kiss. Now, if Jesus had been dressed in some strange way, then, of course, He wouldn't have had to identify Him by kissing Him. But sometimes we feel as if we have the wrong clothes. I grew up in what was called the Great Depression, way back in the 1930s, probably long before your parents were born. Some of your grandparents remember the Depression, I suppose. But we just didn't have very much money, and neither did anybody else, really. But I always thought that my clothes were not really quite right. Most of them were hand-me-downs. You know what hand-me-downs are? Clothes that somebody else has worn. And for years, I had a big, long braid or two long, thick, blonde braids down my back. And sometimes the boys in school would dip those braids in the inkwell. You don't have inkwells anymore, but we had steel pens and we had to dip them in inkwells. So there was a little hole in the top of the desk in which there was a bottle of ink. And the boys would take the cork out of the bottle and dip my pigtails into it. Well, you can imagine. That didn't make me very happy. Maybe I'm talking to some junior high kids. You've got to have exactly the right kind of shoes, don't you? I don't know whether this year you're still wearing those enormous white high-top shoes that look to me like tugboats, and you have to wear them unlaced, and you have to wear your T-shirts too big, and you carry a book bag or you don't carry a book bag, and I suppose if you carry one, it has to be a certain color or a certain size or a certain kind. Or maybe it has to be a backpack. I don't know. I can remember in my day that there was such a thing as a school bag. It looked sort of like a little canvas briefcase. And the kids that carried school bags, we thought they were kind of weird. And the rest of us who were in or with it, we carried our books in our arms, which gave us very bad posture. Anyway, I understand a little bit about what it feels like not to be sure whether you have the right clothes and the right hairdo and all that. Well, talk to God about that. Just tell him exactly how you feel. Then I had an awful experience. Between fourth and fifth grade, my family moved from Philadelphia to New Jersey. And in the Philadelphia school, they didn't teach how to play softball until you got into the fifth grade. Well, when I got to the New Jersey school, I found out that the kids had all learned how to play softball in the fourth grade. So guess who was always the last person chosen for the team? Betty Howard. That was my name back then. Elizabeth Elliott is my name now. My nickname was Betty, and my maiden name was Howard. So Betty Howard was the last person to be chosen on the softball team because she didn't know anything about how to play the game, and there wasn't anybody to teach me. And, of course, when it was my turn to get up to bat, I was scared to death that I was going to strike out, and guess what? I struck out. Well, a verse that I want to give to those of you who know what that feels like is Isaiah 50, verse 7. The Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. The Lord God will help me. That's Isaiah 50, verse 7. Now, I want to make sure you understand that that does not necessarily mean that the Lord God is going to help you to hit a homer. Maybe he will let you strike out. But if he does, I'm sure it's because he has something that he wants to teach you, maybe something that you're not going to need for years and years. But I can look back now and realize how important it was that I should learn to fail, that I should realize that I couldn't do things all by myself. Then I remember in the third grade, we had a sewing class. And the very first day we went to class, the teacher said that we had to buy 1 yard of gingham material to bring to class the next time so that we could make a sewing bag. Well, I was scared to go home and tell my parents because a yard of gingham cloth cost 25 cents. And that was too much money for my parents to give me. My mother did manage to find a yard of gingham that cost 15 cents, and she was able to afford that. But there are all kinds of things that we worry about. And I will never forget the day when a girl had come in late, and all down the back of her cotton stockings was wet. That poor girl, this was in, I think, the third or the fourth grade, that poor girl had wet her pants on the way to school. She was probably hurrying, she was probably late, and she wet her pants. Now, can you imagine how tempted the kids were to make fun of her? We had a very kind teacher, and that teacher immediately took the girl quietly into the cloakroom, the place where we hung our coats, And then she did a very kind thing that I have never forgotten. She got that girl's best friend to go into the cloakroom with her and keep her company while her stockings dried out. There was a radiator in there, and she could take them off and dry them out. Well, I don't know whether you've ever had an embarrassing, I mean a horribly embarrassing experience like that. But maybe you have. Do you think God cares about that? He does. And just commit it to Him. Tell Him how you felt about it. And realize that someday, for sure, there is going to be a reason that God will show you why that happened. I can remember having something wrong with my sinuses. I had to go to the doctor every morning before school and have steel rods run up my nose. Well, it wasn't a very painful process, but it was uncomfortable. I certainly didn't enjoy it. But the worst part about that whole thing, and I think it was about a week of going to the doctor's office, was that I had to come to school late every day. And I had to ride the trolley car by myself. Well, I was scared to ride the trolley car because I was afraid I might miss my stop. And I just died a thousand deaths over coming into that classroom late because I was from the Howard family and the Howards were never late. Well, I'm telling you this just to remind you that even though it was a thousand years ago that I went to school, I can still vividly remember what it was like. And I know that the Lord has been with me every single day of my life and He will be with you. Remember that underneath are the everlasting arms.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.